Hi, it's Dr. Weitz. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Private Medical Practice Academy. Let's talk about space requirements and the layout for your practice. One of your first considerations is going to be size. How large does your office need to be? Well, the general rule of thumb is about 1,200 to 1,500 square feet for the first physician, and then an additional 1,000 to 1,200 square feet for any other providers. Now, of course, I want you to understand that this rule of thumb is really just a generality. There are a number of factors that are going to impact how much space you actually need. One of the most obvious differences in space requirements comes when you start to look at different specialties. On one end of the spectrum, you might consider the low-volume specialties like the psychiatrists who do counseling. In this case, they may only be seeing one patient an hour. But here is where really understanding your practice comes into play. Even within a specialty, there can be significant variability in terms of the needs. Here in Baton Rouge, the psychiatrists actually do mostly medication management and are seeing 4 to 6 patients an hour. They usually have social workers or psychologists in their office as well who provide counseling services. And so obviously their space requirements are going to be very different than the psychiatrist who's doing counseling in addition to medication management and seeing a patient only once an hour. Or as another example, you may be doing concierge medicine or doing DPC. In this case, you may also have a relatively low volume in terms of the number of patients seen per hour. But remember, this can be initially deceptive because how much space you need really depends on how you're using it. If you're going to offer lab services, non-invasive testing, or procedures, obviously your space requirements are going to be different. Let me give you some additional examples. You may be an OBGYN who needs additional space for ultrasound procedures, non-stress testing. You may even want to have additional bathrooms. Or maybe you're in ortho practice and you need to have dedicated space for x-ray equipment. The recurrent theme is that you're going to need to anticipate your clinic flow in order to really be able to understand your space needs. So let's start at the beginning. First impressions count. Look, you may own a restaurant with the absolute best food in town, but if the place looks run down and dirty, customers may think twice about eating there. Similarly, your waiting room is where your patients are going to get their first impression of you. So you're going to want it to be warm and inviting, but it also has to be functional. The first step is trying to figure out how big does your waiting room need to be. The optimal size depends on a few factors, including the number of providers that you're going to have in the practice, your visit volume, and your overall efficiency. For example, if your visits are longer, then you may not have as many patients cycling through your waiting room per hour, and maybe you need less space. On the other hand, if you have patients cycling through very quickly, then you're going to need more waiting room space because you're going to have more patients in the waiting room at any given time. This is where knowing how many patients you're going to see per hour is important. And to come back and talk about efficiency, however many people you think you're going to see in an hour, you need to increase that number because you may be running behind, in which case you'll have more people sitting in your waiting room waiting for you. And so whatever number you think you're going to be able to funnel through this waiting room in an hour, I would tell you you should probably increase that number by at least 20%. You need to have enough seating capacity for both patients and whoever comes with them. Frequently, family members come to a visit. Sometimes it's one, frequently it's two. And if you are doing in-office procedures and ask the patient to bring a driver, remember that that person is going to be hanging out in your waiting room both before the visit but also during the visit, so they don't actually leave. So you need to account for that. So one of the things I want you to think about is how long people actually sit in your waiting room. Here are a few of the things I've learned from designing my own clinic space and having visited multiple other clinics, either as a patient or a family member. First, people hate to sit in the waiting room. Actually, let me rephrase that. They hate to wait. period. And if they're sitting in a large fishbowl, the sense of how long they're waiting only increases. They have an opportunity to see who's getting called back and frequently are annoyed when someone seems to get called back sooner than somebody else. Second, waiting rooms are like elevators. Nobody wants to have to sit looking straight at someone else. And forget about those couches, because even though they look great, even before COVID was a thing, people don't want to sit next to strangers. So basically, they're totally inefficient. Third, think about how easy it is for somebody using a wheelchair or scooter to navigate around that waiting room. And then, of course, you're going to want to think about privacy. No one wants to have their information discussed in public, especially if it's about their bill. So when you're looking at that waiting room area and that front desk space, these are some of the things that you need to think through. One of my favorite designs is what I would describe to you as the Disneyland approach. If you've ever been to a Disney park, you've realized that they are masters at distracting you. You move from one room to another with something different in each one for you to look at. As a result, you feel like you're making progress and that the wait is really not that long. One of the orthopedic clinics that I've been to does a particularly good job of this, where you check in one place and then you move to another room to wait, and then you move to the x-ray room to wait, and then you move to the pod for the actual physician to wait. And in the end, you've waited just as long as if you had been sitting in the large fishbowl, you just don't feel it. Next, I want you to think through your operational needs. Long before you ever go to look for space, sit down and write out every step of your clinic flow. How do patients move from one part of your space to another? How much staff are you going to have? What are their roles? You need to think through every task that somebody is going to do, and then who's actually going to do it. How many patients are you going to see in an hour, in a day? What equipment needs do you have? And how much space is that actually going to take up? Having the right-sized office is one of the most fundamental requirements for any practice. You want your space to be large enough for efficient traffic flow, equipment setup, and for your administrative and operational activities. You need to have enough space to move around so your staff is not limited in their ability to perform their jobs. And as an aside, let me tell you that space is a relatively small component of your overall overhead. And so treating yourself in terms of space may have an overall detrimental effect on your productivity. This is the case of don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Next, I want to talk about traffic flow and accessibility in your clinic. Productivity is enhanced with every step that you save. This is true for both the providers as well as your staff. Having a circular flow that leads from the waiting room through reception to the exam room and back out to reception is a particularly effective layout. This is going to promote fluidity. It decreases congestion, and it has a linear logical flow to it. When you're looking at a space, you're going to want to actually walk it and understand the flow of foot traffic. Your patients are more likely to have a seamless end-to-end experience if there's a circular flow, and most importantly, you don't want them wandering off into restricted areas. As an example, in my clinic, our physician offices were actually located along the back wall so that a patient would have to go out of their way to find our offices. In addition, my billing office was located within the clinic but behind locked doors with a coded entry. In addition, I want to tell you that we also had direct vision of every exam room. This really helps in terms of efficiency, productivity, and safety. So now let's move on to the one question that everyone asks. How many exam rooms do I need? The first thing you're going to consider is both the number and type of visits that you have. Look, I know that everyone is preoccupied with keeping overhead low. And yes, too many exam rooms can be a waste of overhead. But I want you to understand that too few is going to decrease your productivity. In the grand scheme of things, the increase in your overhead for that extra room is going to be insignificant. every minute that you are hanging around waiting for an exam room to open is lost productivity and obviously lost revenue. And needless to say, this is absolutely the last thing that you want to have happen. So if you are doing primarily E&M type visits, as a general rule of thumb, the optimal number of rooms is going to be 3. One room for the patient who's being teed up for you to see, one room for you to actually be in with a patient, and one room for the patient who you just saw who is about to leave. Now, obviously, this does not take into account any other factors like having a room for procedures or x-rays or any other non-invasive testing. You'll need to take those additional services into consideration when deciding how many additional rooms you want to add. As an aside, if you're going to have multiple providers in this space, you don't need to have a separate room for each of these additional services for each provider. So at the risk of overstating the obvious, each doc does not need an x-ray room or a non-invasive testing room to themselves. But they really do need designated exam rooms. Okay, so how big does an exam room actually need to be? An exam room should be at least 10 feet by 10 feet. You're going to want each room to have enough space to easily accommodate you, a medical assistant, your patient, and at least one family member. You will also need to think about wheelchair accessibility. Smaller exam rooms, like 8 feet by 8 feet, for instance, make it difficult for a wheelchair user to navigate in the room. And you're going to want the space to have a 60-inch diameter wheelchair turn to comply with the ADA guidelines. Now, regardless of how many rooms you have or how big they are, the design of the room is very important. You can centralize your supplies in one big storage area, but then finding a room or closet big enough for all your supplies may not be easy. More importantly, it can result in bottlenecks. When thinking about patient privacy, you want to make sure that the door opens into the exam room rather than into the hallway and is hinged in such a way as it swings towards the exam table. This is going to shield the patient on the exam table from the view of those who are outside of the room. There are also ADA requirements with regard to where the door needs to be positioned. Typically, the door needs to be at least 18 inches from the corner, but because these requirements can vary from region to region, I want to make sure that you check out the codes where you are. One thing that you can consider is having a smaller, separate intake room where a medical assistant can obtain vital signs, height and weight, and other information before the actual exam. This can be especially helpful during busy times and can decrease the amount of time patients spend in an actual exam room. This can also be a way to solve space issues when you absolutely can't eke out that third 10 by 10 exam room. I also want to briefly touch on the layout of the exam room. Consistency is the key. If possible, you really want all of your exam rooms to be laid out and stocked the same way so that it's easy for you and your staff to find things. Which in turn brings me to the topic of storage. Where to put stuff is always an issue, whether it's at home or in an office. What do I mean? You don't want to have your staff walking across the space to go look in some closet to get some supply for you. Now, if there's adequate storage space, you can fully stock each exam room. But aside from the space requirements of this, I want to tell you that this comes with another set of issues. You want to make sure that if you put supplies in each exam room, that you have locks on your cabinets, or you're going to find that the supplies will disappear. Another option is that you use portable storage where you put your extra supplies on a cart and then wheel the cart from room to room. Next, let's talk about workstations. This is where thinking about your workflow is, again, so absolutely important. I'm sure that you've been to medical offices where all the office equipment is grouped together in the receptionist's area. And then there's a space for a nurse's station and perhaps another for a doctor's work area. If you critically evaluate this setup, you'll see that this is probably not the most efficient use of their space. When you or your staff need to go to a central hub for a specific task, bottlenecks can happen and the space becomes crowded and cluttered. I'll challenge you to look around the busiest areas of your office and identify where the pileups are. I can tell you that standing in front of the copy machine or the fax machine tends to be one of those places. You're going to want to think about ways that you can break up the workspace so that you can function most efficiently. For example, it makes more sense to place a fax machine in your clinic area. That way, requests for prescription renewals can be dealt with without having to go to the reception desk and interfere with patients who are being checked in. So yes, you may actually need two fax machines. But when you consider that an all-in-one copy, scanner, fax machine is only a couple of $100, this is a trivial amount if it's going to increase your productivity. Let me put it to you another way. If you see 1 to 2 extra patients, you've paid for that extra machine. And that's not per day, per week. It's 1 to 2 patients ever. So instead of keeping all of your fax machines, printers, files, and office supplies and computers in the front office by the receptionist, think about the fact that you're going to need to have some of those resources in the back in the medical staff's work area. You may also want to consider having mini stations near exam rooms, either in addition to or instead of a central workstation. These areas can provide quick, easily accessible places for your staff and you to write notes, review a patient's history, or double-check a medication. This way, you don't have people wandering around going back to a main work area where they can bump elbows with everyone else. Needless to say, privacy is a really big deal in the medical office. Obviously, you're going to want to have all patient interactions in a private setting. But remember, you also need to have any patient-related discussions, any phone calls, or anything else where confidential information could be relayed in a private setting. You need to make sure that any workstation areas have sensitive information secured and out of the view of any prying eyes. People are inherently nosy. And if you leave stuff out, someone's going to see it. And worse yet, they may even take it. That extra prescription pad that you have hanging around for when your EMR goes down and you actually have to physically write a script, if you leave it in full view, I promise you that it will develop legs and take a walk. To that end, you're going to want all office and storage space out of patient view, if at all possible. And again, as should be obvious, your staff needs to store all private patient information, diagnoses, billing, treatments, and medications in filing cabinets or storage cabinets that can be secured. And then the last thing I want to talk about is something that may surprise you. The one space that I don't think you absolutely need is an office for yourself. Let me start by telling you that bringing patients back to your office has a couple of big issues. First, it really interferes with your clinic's flow and efficiency. Second, there are likely to be significant privacy concerns, like if you have reports, medical records, or anything else that is sensitive sitting on your desk. So sure, everybody would love to have a private office. And if you choose to have one, that's your choice. But it doesn't have to be huge, and you shouldn't be planning to spend a whole lot of time there. Yeah, you can go there to make a private phone call, or at the end of your clinic. The one thing I would strongly advise you not to do is go to your office between patients. Ducking into your office between patients totally drains the momentum of your clinic and will decrease your productivity. Think of it this way. If you leave your pod where your exam rooms are, go to your office, and then your MA has to come and get you, you have now slowed down the process. It is all about efficiency, and efficiency is all about the flow. Thanks for joining me. Be sure to sign up for my newsletter below, and I'll be sending you tips on how to start your practice, best run your practice, grow the practice, and then ultimately be able to leverage your medical practice into multiple other businesses. I hope to see you soon.